Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. I am Brandon Enyart.
I'm Aiden Wood.
And we are here with
this. We're having a little laugh because I ended my stream really late tonight, and I kind of forgot that we were podcasting. And so I ran real quick to make myself some food, and I made myself a baked potato with melted vegan cheese and garlic salt and tons of butter. It's like literally just, a potato with vegan cheese and a shit ton of butter. Like, it's like a little, like, pool of butter that I was awkwardly trying to eat as I was supposed to say my name because I kind of forgot that we were podcasting again as I was eating.
So I also had potatoes, by the way, tonight, except that I am on the opposite end of this. I don't like any butter.
So, really?
Yeah. So I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum there from you. I'm not a butter fan. Not even like, that's why everybody's like, oh my God, you're vegan. How do you go without butter? I'm like, I didn't like butter before I was vegan. I mean, actually, they have great butter substitutes, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, cause yeah. But anyways, it's a debate episode. The first debates happen. By the way, before we get into it though, I do want to say only for the people who, if I do put this on Instagram, USA soccer today, the women, US yeah. women's soccer team, going to the final.
They beat England.
Sure
and
did.
There was the goalie who was very good.
Alyssa Nair.
And that's all I know. There was a goalie who was good and they beat England and they're going to the finals.
So this is the third World Cup final in a row, which by the way is a first. It's a historic happening. It's also 11 straight World Cup wins for the American women. Another record. They're setting records everywhere. They're still not getting paid enough. But yeah, today Alex Morgan scores on her 30th birthday, and then she very cheekily takes a sip of tea after her goal, which was not received so well by the British fans. And also Pierce Morgan, who has had his mouth open all week about the American soccer team, especially because Megan Rapinoe has been so vocal of her distaste of our president, Donald Trump. Sue Bird, by the way, for everybody who is, and I'll try to maybe put this link if I remember in the description. Sue Bird is Megan Rapinoe's girlfriend. She plays for Seattle Storm, WNBA team. Megan Rapinoe plays for Seattle. Oh, wow, they used to be Seattle Reign. Now
wait, so one of the women's national soccer team people's, they have a girlfriend in the WNBA?
Yes, Sue Bird.
That's a power couple, dude.
Oh, 100%, because listen to this, right? So Sue Bird plays for the Seattle Storm in the WNBA. And Megan Rapinoe plays for Reign FC, who is based in Tacoma. So we're lucky as fuck up here because we've got the power couple of Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird living here in the Evergreen State. And Megan Rapinoe right now, she's got the purple hair. If you've seen her on the TV screen, she's obviously caused a lot of ruckus lately with the president saying she will not go to the White House, which we love about her. And you know, people are questioning if that's American or not. Of course it is. That's how this country is. And she has her freedom and we're proud of her up here in the Evergreen State. And yes, so the American women, we don't know who they're going to face yet because once this gets posted, we'll probably know. But tomorrow we await whether Sweden or Netherlands wins theirs. And that'll be the final. Sweden did beat us in the Olympics a few years ago. So maybe we want the Netherlands. I don't know.
Sorry, before we go into the debate talk, that's not the only sports news I'm aware of.
Whoa, are you?
I know. Two things happened in sports.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Coco beat Venus Williams in tennis.
Yes, the 15-year-old.
Yeah, the 15-year-old. So that was great.
Incredible. I love Venus. Love Venus. But that's
I adore Venus, but like it was like so emotional. Like when you like saw like Coco after her win, like go to Venus and tell her thank you. It was just like I was like literally about to cry. I was like, this is such a beautiful moment. I watched a little part of the tennis match like at work because like my manager plays stuff on screen. But that's like how I know. That's also the reason I know the other thing about sports that I know, which is that a 27-year-old baseball player died.
He did, Tyler Skaggs, and there's a lot more to come out about that. I've seen him pitch before, it's sad. Whenever that happens and you want to hold any, you know, of course, I don't want to jump to any conclusions about what was the cause, but very, very sad regardless. As you mentioned, Venus Williams did get beat, but in other news from the other Williams, sister Serena Williams, who is still just killing it, she won her opening match at Wimbledon. So Yeah, so it's great stuff happening right now in the world of sports. And, you know, politics have their own sport of sorts.
Yes,
it's called the debates.
I tried to convince my manager to play the debates at work because I was like, people are interested. This is a major cultural event. They're going to want to watch it, and they're going to want to watch it with people. And then he was like, we don't do politics here. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Play your fucking basketball.
So many places here actually played the debates in Bellingham because we are nerds in that way, I guess. And, breweries around here, and all are playing the debate. And two nights of debates. So where do we start? So there's somebody obviously who made a lot of news, hilarious, by the way, news. Marianne, we talked about Marianne Williamson.
Marianne Williamson, what a delight.
Why we're opening with her, I'm not sure. But
yeah, kind of the worst possible.
Let's get it out of the way, right? So yeah. I made a joke, and by the way, totally, everybody has their different thoughts on things. So I'm not, you know, I made a joke last episode about her using crystals to heal the country, and if people are into that, that's totally cool, but I couldn't have been closer to the truth. Actually, that's kind of her
I'm gonna send you a meme right now. You keep talking, I'm gonna send you a meme that I saw. I don't know, did I send you the Marianne Williamson meme?
I don't know. I've seen a few, but go ahead and send it to me that way.
Okay, keep talking.
Yeah, so yeah, Marianne, she was like a mixture, like the way she talked was like a mixture of like Jessica Rabbit and somebody who was like working at the used bookstore that also sells, you know, wands and, you know, like I said, crystals and stuff like that. And nothing wrong with that. But boy, I tell you what, though, at the debates, it was bizarre. Let's be honest. We've seen some weird people at the debates before. I mean, Dennis Kucinich, we thought was weird at one time. What's his face? He ran with Al Gore. Gosh, where's my head? I'll think of it at some point. Anyways, I just got the meme in, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to can you post that on Instagram as well? Also, sorry about the burps.
Again. No worries. I can try to get this up on social media, at least on our Twitter. I think I'll probably get it on Instagram as well. Yeah, Born to Vibe.
Yeah, it's a very surreal meme. I would explain it to you, but as Brenda could attest, it's not the kind of meme you explain.
You have to see it.
You have to feel it in your soul. So just go check out our Twitter and Instagram to see that meme.
Then who was Al Gore? Gore and... oh my gosh.
What year was this?
This would have been 2000.
Cool. So I was 4. So I cannot help.
I'm okay. So while I'm talking about this, I'm going to look it up. Joe Lieberman, by the way, Al Gore's running mate. We've seen some interesting performances. Even Rand Paul, when he ran for president, some odd performances. But nothing was as out of place as seeing Marianne Williamson speak. She didn't get to speak that much.
Yeah, she didn't really edge. Some of the candidates like sort of edged their way into the conversation. Some more aggressively than others.
Right.
Marianne Williamson just sort of was like content to sit there and wait to be called on.
She said, like, some of her quotes. Like, I'm trying to remember exact. Oh,
okay. Here's a paraphrase from her.
Right.
These candidates have like policy proposals, but they miss what really got Donald Trump elected, which is he got to the soul of the country. And he got his, like, he got his message to the spirit of the country. The only way to heal that is with the love.
she had that girl. She would go into that sort of, girlfriend. You are here's
oh yeah. For this, okay. So just context is the Prime Minister of New Zealand had a comment about like girl power or like changing the world, and then Marianne Williamson was like, "I would say, girl, you are on. Like, I'm going to change." It was surreal.
Yeah, girlfriend, you are so on, because the United States of America is going to be the best place in the world for a child to grow. Yes, this was my first call is the Prime Minister of New Zealand. This is when they asked her who her first call would be.
They asked they asked all the candidates, who would your first call be to another foreign country if you were elected? Like, would you call, like, Russia? Would you call England? Would you call China? Would you call, like, who would you call? She would call New Zealand to say, like, girl, you are on, like, to the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
She said her goal was to make New Zealand the place where it's the best place in the world for a child to grow up. This is Jacinda Ardern from New Zealand. And I will tell her, girlfriend, you are so on, because the United States of America is going to be the best place in the world for a child to grow up. So I guess she's saying, you are on, I'm going to challenge you? Or was she saying, you are so on, you are right? I think it was that she's going to challenge her to having the
yeah,
best
place. Yeah, we're going to challenge.
To have the best place.
You could just say that during the debates. Like, you don't have to call them again.
Yeah.
Like, look at the message.
You're on, Jacinda. Anyways.
Yeah, so, Marianne Williams, I'm like, she's just funny. Like, I kind of wanted to stick around because she's funny.
Oh,
but, I mean, I know people were talking about that with Donald Trump. I don't think she has Trump's
no.
power. But, like, I feel like if she sticks around for a little bit longer.
Oh, I would love that. My God. I could honestly, yeah, I would love to see that. Have her and Andrew Yang go against each other for about an hour. Just those two.
Just those two. Oh, that's hilarious.
No policy. Oh, I mean, no, excuse me. Actually, excuse me. Andrew Yang has, yeah, no policy against far too many policies that don't make sense. So speaking of Andrew Yang, someone who
we are going from like least speaking to like most speaking, aren't
well,
we?
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna go from like least to like most important, right? So Andrew Yang, who, you know, at first I will admit I was caught up in the
hashtag Yang Gang.
Well, okay, yeah, let's not go there. But so I was caught up in, you know, the zephyr. I won't say the breeze, yeah, even a breeze that Andrew Yang was, you know, right? Oh, UBI, this is cool. Now it's like this UBI is not now $1,000 a month. It's like after everything, it's like not really due. But anyways, beyond that, he is basically just a libertarian in like, oh, look at me, I'm kind of progressive with some of my ideas clothing, you know? And he was so, like, he impressed me so little at these debates for being supposedly one of the best debate. Now, I realize that he didn't have as much time as the other candidates did to speak. But
a lot of the other candidates fought for time to speak. Mm-hmm, like, even if they weren't asked a question, like, they would respond to other candidates. And they would say, like, I would like just like to make a response there. Andrew Yang and Marianne Williamson just sort of sat on their asses.
Yeah. And they, you know, Andrew Yang said today he qualifies for the next one. Dude, you better be starting to show your debating chops because they sucked, man.
I get that it's like not something he's familiar with. He admitted on Twitter that he didn't do very well. Like, he owned up to that, which I can appreciate.
Right.
Like, but also like, get better before the next one, dude. Like,
he also did tweet a few things. So like, almost, cause I agree with you. I respect that as well. But he also did tweet a few things in regards to like, I'm really, really like, these weirdly like cryptic tweets. I'm scared for this country after stepping off of this stage. I'm like, well, I mean, in some ways, maybe, but
I mean, he accused the DNC of cutting off his mic so that he couldn't speak.
Which I just don't know if I believe that, because they could definitely use that technique for a lot of people.
People were saying like cut their mics off like when they ran out of time. But also like, Yang's policies aren't as big of a threat to the establishment as like, and like, I feel like Yang himself, like maybe his policy ideas, if they were taken seriously, could be. But I feel like, I don't see why they would spend those resources to do that.
Him talking about UBI in the debates was just proof that that's not a direction that we're even close to being ready to go down right now. That, you know, I've talked about it. I would rather restructure the work week before going into that so that we can start to, you know, and also, by the way, give people a living wage. And I was not at the debates, by the way. I didn't raise enough money to get on the either night. So Andrew Yang, I found him to be mostly disappointing. Moving on now, there are a few that you just don't really, like, they had their time to speak, but they did not stick with you, right? We obviously had our guy, John Hickenlooper. We had, Tim
John
Ryan.
John Hickenlooper, who I think, I heard a rumor about this, it's unsubstantiated, and actually now that I, like, so I'm starting to say that out loud. I'm actually going to open up another window and I'm going to like low key do some fact checking. Apparently like some of his staff was like telling him he should turn in the towel after that first debate. Oh yeah. So, Politico says Hickenlooper campaign in shambles. Reuters, or however you pronounce that name, departing advisors urged John Hickenlooper to quit Rice White House race. So, like, there's a staff, like, a lot of his staff, his campaign staff quit after that debate. His senior aides told him he should drop out. He hasn't dropped out yet. Anyway, so that's the news on the Hickenlooper front. But remember, if you go to johnhickenlooper.whatever, like, you can buy a fun Hickenlooper beanie.
You can buy a Hickenlooper beanie. If I don't have a Hickenlooper beanie for under my Christmas tree this year, I don't know. Then you got Tim Ryan, who is very passionate at times, but was just talking in circles for the most of the night. I mean, nothing memorable. Just there were some things where I went, oh, yeah, I agree with you, Tim. And then he actually got into an argument. Who was it with?
Was it with Tulsi Gabbard about 9/11?
Okay, yeah. Was that Tim Ryan?
Honestly, a lot of those white guys are just... people were talking like, wow, I think that Mayor Bill de Blasio really turned up well. And I was like, which one was Bill de Blasio again? Like, I do not know. Or like,
Bill was the tall John guy.
John Bennett. I don't know. I still don't know who the fuck John Bennett is. Like, was he even at the debates?
Michael Bennett.
What's the difference?
Yeah, he was, and he was not very memorable. He was actually the guy who kind of had, he talked weird. But Tulsi was the first night, right? Yeah. And so it was her against Tim Ryan. And he said something along the lines of basically that, yeah, because he had mentioned, that's right, he had mentioned that the reason why we have to have military over in the Middle East is because of, because to stop terrorist attacks over here. And he kept saying the Taliban, to where she finally corrected him and said it wasn't the Taliban, it was Al-Qaeda, Tim. And I think Tim's, if he had a tail, it would have been tucked between his legs at that point, because Tim realized that Tim made a big, big boo-boo, and Tim sounded
a big one on a national stage.
Yeah.
I also I do have the Hickenlooper store pulled up, and I was about to buy you a Hickenlooper beanie I was about to do that $25, and I can't.
$25. Just wait. Once he has suspended his campaign, those will be at least 60% off.
Yeah. So I just want you to know, I was going to buy you a Hickenlooper beanie. I cannot afford it, but I was going to get you one for Christmas and probably send it to your mom to wrap up, but I didn't.
The sentiment is beautiful.
Yes. Okay. I just want to at least get that out there. Okay.
I appreciate that so much. So we can skip past all those white guys for the most part, right? And
one thing. I was watching the debates in a live stream. I'm really important. Shout out to my friend Guy, who I don't know if he considers us friends, but I like to consider us friends. Yeah. But he hosts a live stream where people watch the debates and can discuss it. And he doesn't talk during the debate portion. Like, he steps back and, like, lets the candidates speak for themselves. As opposed to other live streamers who will commentate over it.
Right.
But, like, we were watching it with him. And then he, like, afterwards is making all these comments like, wow, Eric Swalwell's really showing up. Like, he looks so presidential. And I was like, who the fuck is Eric Swalwell? I, like, just watched the debate with him, but I do not remember his face. I, like, was intently watching it. And I have no idea who the fuck this guy is.
Right. Now, I remember Eric Swalwell just because a few times he came on. Again, he's one of those people where you go, oh, yeah. Like, most, like, they say the safe stuff. Like, oh, yeah, we agree with that. But then you're like, but, dude, like, that was so, ordinary. So, yeah, I mean, Eric Swalwell, Michael Bennett, John Hickenlooper, and then if you want to throw Bill de Blasio in there as well, because Bill de Blasio, his attribute, which, by the way, I know you don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, but I love having Marianne Williamson in there, because when you have, like, representative, senator, governor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then you had author. And that's, if you ever watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, they'll have, like, the most ridiculous, like, occupations or whatever underneath their names. Like, they'll just go with something. And that's what it reminded me of.
I did. I've never watched an episode of The Bachelorette, but I did listen to a Bachelorette fan cast called Rose Buddies, which I just loved the host so much. I loved the other podcast they did, so I started listening to their Bachelorette fan cast. And they did it for a couple of years, and then they stopped because they had grown so sick of the show that they had stopped listening. They decided to stop making a podcast about it because they were no longer fans.
And you know, I've started to find out you don't need to actually watch the show while it's on. You can just be like doing something on your phone and totally still know what's going on. Yeah. But Bill de Blasio, though, he, I think, just had under his name, even though he's the mayor of New York, he should have under his name, I'm tall, because that's basically all that he really is. You know, he stands, everybody talks about that. They say he's presidential because he's a very tall man, and which is weird. But he had a moment. So before we escape the mediocre white men, the last thing I'll say about them, Bill had a moment where with Cory Booker standing just a few podiums down from him, he spoke about his African-American son and how he has that over the other candidates because he understands what it's like for to basically raise a black child in today's climate with police. By the way, after saying a few minutes before that he was the basically the, you know, he oversees the world's largest police force in the, you know, or excuse me, the country's largest police force. And so basically what he was saying was the police force that I oversee, because he tells his son, as he put it, you know, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but tells his son, you know, you have to be careful when you go out there, because obviously there's a, you know, there's a certain perception of you, and it's not safe for people, you know, he was along those lines, right? Obviously it's not always safe for a young black man out there. And so basically what he was saying was that his police force scares him for his son. I mean, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And by the way, he said that I have this over, you know, I have this experience as if none of the other candidates did. And yet Cory Booker has lived it, for crying out loud. In New Jersey, by the way, he grew up in a not a affluent neighborhood or anything like that. He's lived this. And meanwhile, you got Bill de Blasio saying, oh, yeah. And, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, not disrespecting the fact that, yes, his son, obviously, yeah, you know, in New York, there are issues just like there are everywhere around this country. But it's interesting that you would both boost up that you're in charge of the nation's largest police force while also saying that you're still scared of how they treat minorities,
yeah,
including your own son. So, yeah, so then you had Cory Booker, who, by the way, was probably my favorite the most unexpected favorite of the night on the first night. I actually ranked them on my phone, and I was going to rank them.
Oh, please. I want to hear your rankings right now.
I was going to rank them the next night, but I did rank them, but it was such a huge drop off.
Your audio cut out. Right. Oh, the suspense. Oh, right before we hear the list. Oh.
You know, one of these days, everybody, I'm going to figure out why my microphone does that, and I apologize. It'll probably happen again today. So here's my rankings. Now that we're back from commercial. I ranked it just kind of how they impressed me, right? So Cory Booker, I ranked as number one. Pretty much a dead heat with Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren was very, very good with her. We know she's kind of the queen of policies right now. Jay Inslee, I thought he made a case, not necessarily for president, but definitely for a spot if a Democrat were to win the presidency, a spot in the cabinet, because he's very great with climate change. He had his moment when they asked one or two words to describe or the biggest threat to America, and everybody was saying China and Russia and blah, blah, blah. And Jay Inslee came up to him and he goes, Donald Trump. And we're like, yeah, Washington! Woo! You know, he's the Donald Trump. Underneath Jay Inslee, I put Julian Castro. And then like it falls off from there. I had Amy Klobuchar, which I'm not a fan of hers, but I thought that she did decently in spots.
Yeah, I think that she performed well. I would say like, I still don't really know anything about her. And I also kind of forgot what she did well.
She is well-spoken. And I'm not saying that sometimes that is something people use, right? And she does some good policy, or at least things I could respect, right? Maybe not that I align with, but when we're ranking them, I'm having to go off of how they performed, right? And I thought she performed decently well. Then I put Tulsi Gabbard after her, but there's a lot of things that have happened with Tulsi I just haven't agreed with lately. But I thought that she had her moment against Bill de Blasio. Tim Ryan, my bad. Under Tulsi Gabbard, I had Bill de Blasio. Even though I cannot stand the guy, I could not put him lower than Tim Ryan, who got owned. And Beto O'Rourke, who was a huge drop off. I mean, a monumental slide from running for Senate in Texas to just a terribly poor performance, in my opinion, on the first evening.
You know how sports or like the original thing I was going to say was crossword puzzle tournaments, but like I figure sports probably like a more
crossword puzzle tournaments work too.
Yeah. So I'll just go with crossword puzzle tournaments. I've never actually been to one, but I'll use it as an analogy. There's like different divisions, like an A division, a B division, a C division.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's sports, you could say.
Yeah. Like a farm team.
I don't know what that is. Anyways. So ideally you'd want to be like, you'd prefer to be the best of the B division as opposed to like the worst of the A division. And sometimes people like do really well in the B division and then they'll get moved up to the A division and then where they're like, they like rank like number 40 or whatever, right, as opposed to being like the number like four person in the B division, like, which is like, sounds more impressive, you know, as opposed to I can't 40th place. But I feel like that sometimes it can be an ego hit. Like sometimes people who have moved up to the A division be like, I kind of want to go back down to the B division. I kind of feel like Beto O'Rourke tried to perform well in the B division. Didn't even win in the B division. Kind of like lost to the B division too, but decided to go to the A division anyways and is now hoping to go back to the B division.
So that, I love that analogy because we have a lot of crossword puzzle fans who follow, listen to this. Because they're fans of you and so they're listening. Now for those few fans who are fans of me, I will speak more in sports terms. What Aiden's trying to say is that like in soccer, where in the Premier League, they get relegated to the division below. And then when they win that division, they get promoted to the Premier League, or in baseball where you have AAA, AA, single A, and then major leagues, not in that order, of course, it goes major leagues, AAA, AA, single A. You're right. Right. Because like, you'll see a guy who's hitting home runs in AAA and suddenly he moves up to major leagues and whoa, these pitchers are pretty good.
I feel like you just tried to use as much terminology as possible just to make me feel embarrassed.
No, you're, because I loved your analogy. It was great. Beto O'Rourke slid, but let's go with crossword. So he slid down from A to B, he went from B, tried at A, hasn't won either one of them, but can at least mix with the people in B. Can you guess who my last place was on the first night?
It's probably be the last person who was there on the first night. Could you repeat the list so I can try and figure out?
Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Jay Inslee, Julian Castro, Bill de Blasio.
So Elizabeth Warren, Julian Castro, other people I don't care about.
Tim Ryan, Tulsi Gabbard.
Was it Michael Bennett?
No, he was on the next night.
Was it? Don't tell me. I can think of it. John Delaney?
Yes, of course it was.
Yeah, John Delaney's a
fuck John father. Delaney. Okay. Yeah, so that was my list from the first night. I think we've gone over most everybody on the first night for the most part. I really did like Cory Booker. I think that he is growing as he campaigns, and it might not be enough, probably will not be enough at the end of the day when it comes to the rest of this going into 2020, but I feel that he really is growing and maybe he gets a spot as a vice presidential candidate. I don't know, but I would love to see, because I think he'll slowly just become a bigger and bigger player in politics as we move forward. Second night. Do you want me to give my rankings and we'll discuss them?
Yes, please. This is very exciting. I should have. I'll do rankings for the next debate. I promise.
So let's go from the bottom because there's a big fall off when it comes to like first and second, right? So but the bottom.
I kind of liked it the way you did the last time because I have go to from the top.
Okay. So number one, that's got to be an easy one for night too, right?
Bernie Sanders?
No. I mean,
Joe Biden?
Kamala Harris was...
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah, I thought you were talking your personal choices of presidents and not, like, who won the debates.
Well, I'll get to that. Like, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Are you a Kamala Harris?
Well, no, hold on. Let's just hold up.
I thought you were talking about your personal, like, okay, you're talking about who performed in the debates. Okay, yeah, Kamala Harris makes it. Oh, into that. Okay.
I've got some interesting stuff to talk about. So, okay. Yeah. Just stay tuned.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted also because my rat's pawing at my foot, and she really wants some of this. She really wants some of this potato.
Hi, little friend. So Bernie Sanders, number two, okay. And Pete Buttigieg, number three. And by the way, that's just because like I said, a major drop off from number two, cause I'm not a Mayor Pete fan. Eric Swalwell, number four, that goes to show you, number five, John Hickenlooper, number six, Andrew Yang, even though I really couldn't find any reason to have him at number six. It's just that he faded. And actually, you know what? I might switch this because Kirsten Gillibrand underneath Andrew Yang, but that really could go either way. Then I had Joe Biden just because I could not take most of what he had to say, and I didn't think that he obviously dropped monumentally in the polls, so it was a huge slide.
Fucking ass kicked.
Yeah, I mean, because Kamala absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah, and the moderators were like giving Bernie a lot of really tough questions that mm-hmm. that felt like they were set up so that he would look bad, and like even despite that, like Bernie still came out looking so much better than Biden. Like,
oh, 100%. And oh my God. Michael Bennett, second to last, and then Marianne Williamson last. Sorry, Marianne.
I would switch that around because at least I remember Marianne Williamson. I remember Marianne Williamson.
Michael, I remember because of the way he talked.
Which was?
He has a weird way of talking. I can't do it. I wish I could. He has a weird way of talking when he talks. Yeah. I'm sorry, I've been taking control of this.
No, it's okay. This is exciting.
But so I'll give you my essay. So here's my feelings about Kamala, right? So I went into this thinking I need to have an open mind because I am a fan of Elizabeth Warren and her policies, right? I know you're a huge fan of Elizabeth Warren. But personally, I'll be honest, sometimes my worries are is that she's when it comes to the debating, say, Trump on the stage, she's like the calm, steady, right? She's not where you're going to go up against this giant, and that worries me. And even though she's got all the smarts and the policy to fight that, I worry, I want to see a big personality against Trump, right? And Kamala, there was a point in the evening, obviously, where you know which point it was. I think, you know, there's a lot of points, but the first one that really got me up out of my seat was when you had, I think it was Bernie and Biden who were squabbling over some things.
There were a few people who were squabbling. It was like,
right.
in the stream I was in, people were literally saying, this is a clusterfuck. Like many people were like, this is crazy. What is happening?
Right.
And you talking over each other.
And quick on her feet as hell, she's like, the America doesn't want a food fight. They want to find out how we're going to put food on their table. I was like, oh my God. That was just like, you know, she exploded the room there. And I right at that moment, I said, she can beat Trump. And I because I thought that she's quick on her feet. She's smart. She will absolutely annoy the living shit out of him because he is obviously he's a chauvinist, and he will not be able to take that she will be able to dish out what he does, except in a much more intellectual and smarter way. And so she impressed me. And the reason, look, I still have issues with her, some of her past, and you know, my personality about law enforcement or her being a prosecuting attorney is a tough one for me to get over. But she impressed me a lot, and in this, and she when she went, took on Joe regarding his ties to people who were on board with segregation back in the past, and she did not let him off the hook. She, I mean, had her foot on his throat, and she just kept pressing down. And I thought she did a amazing job. And that's why, no, I said, as much as I love Bernie, and the reason why I put Bernie in second, because I thought Bernie actually did not have a great performance. But what I will say about Bernie is that we have to, you know, I'm going to sound like every Bernie fan here, but it was his ideologies over two nights that were now brought to the forefront of a lot of candidates. And that there's something to be said for that. It was something that he started 4 years ago, and that's why I refuse to take him out of the top right now. Because, and to be fair, Elizabeth Warren as well. You can't deny that she's also been a progressive voice in the Democratic Party as well. But I refuse to take Bernie out of the top two right now, just based on the fact that among 10 other people or 9 other people, he did not perform as well as he did when it was basically Bernie versus Hillary. Right. And I think we had O'Malley and a couple other guys.
I think it was just Martin O'Malley, at least one of the debate stages.
I think that was one of them was O'Malley, Hillary, and Bernie. There was one with they don't even matter, so I don't know why I'm trying to think of their names. But there were these two other guys. One, I believe, was a former military guy, and the other was Lincoln something. Anyways, I'll remember it at some point. But top of my head, it's not coming to me. But I got to be honest with you. I came away with a feeling that especially that you wondered, did Bernie lose a bit of his edge 4 years later? He's 4 years older.
I also think like it is worth noting that like a lot of the questions were intentionally designed to trick him. He was asked like, would like an everyday American's tax increase under your plan?
Right.
And he was trying to say like technically yes, but like a lot of their other expenses would be lower. They wouldn't have to pay for healthcare. They wouldn't have to pay for a bunch of shit. And their overall like disposable income would be higher annually. So even though they're technically be taken out of taxes, they would save more money. But like that he was trying to explain that, and then they were like, but like just yes or no, like would their taxes increase? Yeah. That was really frustrating. And I could tell Bernie was getting frustrated by like, mm-hmm. it felt like it was, he was being targeted in my
mind. And because what he was explaining is very, very much a social welfare system, which is, you know, used in parts of Europe. I yell at the TV when it's going on. I'm like, well, your taxes will go up, but you won't be paying for health insurance. My mom, I don't even know the exact numbers. Maybe one day we should have her talk about it on the show. But her insurance costs are crazy. And I sit there and I go, I couldn't afford that. Like, I wouldn't be able to make rent with what she pays for insurance each month. And so people wouldn't have those costs. You would have, but yeah, again, that's very much how a social welfare program works, or social welfare system works. And which is closer to what our version of democratic socialism would be than anybody who tries to say that we become some sort of socialist, you know, country, which we would still, even Bernie, who is very far left for our politicians, is still so far right of actual socialist nations.
Oh yeah.
And, I hope that Bernie has a better performance next, but I am definitely ready to say, look, if Kamala keeps up with this momentum, she impressed me. It's funny. When Obama first came onto the scene, I thought he was really slick. And I thought, this guy has all the right answers. And I remember even telling, I was much younger then, but I remember telling my mom, I'm like, I don't even know if I like this guy. Everybody likes him. And then I remember it took listening to him debate once and listening to him start talking about his policies. And I'm going to caucus. That was the first time I caucused for a candidate. I said, I am going to fight for this guy. And because I absolutely love what he has to say. And I didn't love everything about his 2 terms as president. But I will forever remember that night where he became president. We saw someone who was not a white man become president. And I saw a group of kids on TV of all different backgrounds, and they were celebrating. And I thought, this is where the world turns. And now look, 8 years, look, 8 years later, what do we get? And so that's how I felt about Kamala. I have to be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of hers before this, and she won me over on that debate. I thought she was incredible.
Someone made this comment, which I mean, again, like I am not, I like I got hyped up when I was watching the debates because Kamala Harris, like, is that talented at debating. It sort of wore off afterwards. And, like, I have a clear, like, when I go into the voting booth, I'll have a clear head. But, I mean, I got to give credit where credit's due, like, about her performance and about the way she can impact people. But somebody made a comment in the stream I was watching that Kamala Harris has the best chance of beating Trump because, specifically because as a prosecutor, she's capable of making a legal argument, like a logical argument and an emotional argument, but you need both if you want to convince a jury to put somebody behind bars, you know? You have to be able to appeal to both the emotional and the logical. So I feel like, so they're saying that has like the, like that's a skill that is needed in the debates. I will say that I do think that Warren can beat Trump, and I think that Warren can beat Trump because she, more than any other candidate, acknowledges the issues that Americans are facing, like head on, like, and like a lot of Trump supporters are people who are in poverty, are people who are in pain, and who have been caught up in this populist wave by a president who like says, oh, I can fix your pain by doing this, without necessarily actually listening to them and like what their issue is. But Elizabeth Warren is going to these communities and saying like, I know that you were struggling with an opioid epidemic, okay? I know that you were struggling because you lost your job to automation. Not automation, like as much as Andrew Yang is talking about that, but like, I know you're struggling because you like, you lost your job or like because of the, like the healthcare prices. And like, here is what I'm doing. Here is what I'm going to do to fix it. Like, and that's not something that you see any other candidate do to the same extent and on such a wide range of issues. But she's like willing to acknowledge the pain that Americans are feeling and actually listen to them and then offer concrete ways to help that.
Right. Well, I'll go back to something, a little bit of something you said a few minutes ago as well about Kamala, is that that was another thing that impressed me about her. She had a, she has a very human side to her that she brings into the debates without it muddying the, you know, lines between, you know, professional, and she's able to really connect with people in that way. Now, obviously Elizabeth has been that way for years as well. It's just in a little bit different way. Yeah. Elizabeth is sort of like, you know, your cool aunt, right? You know, sort of kind of thing, I guess, you know? And
he drinks beer.
Right.
Wait, did I tell you about the merchandise that Elizabeth Warren has on our website?
No, you haven't.
She has a lot of cool stuff, and I was looking into seeing if there's something I could buy. But there was a pint glass that she has, and it's sold out, understandably, but it's a pint glass that says persist responsibly.
I love that. That is good. I gotta say, it's good.
Yeah, there's also a mug that they're selling, and this one isn't sold out. This one I was actually thinking of getting, but it's a mug that says, "I like my coffee like I like my American unions strong."
Nice.
It's so good.
Those are good.
Yeah. I was related to. Oh yeah, Kamala Harris. There was one point in the debates where like, the moderator said to Kamala, "You have 30 seconds to respond," and then they did not cut her off. Like they did, they didn't say anything. Like she was making response to Joe Biden, Joe Biden's busing comments. She was making a comment about like what she went through as like a young Black girl who was like being bused to. Like it was like very emotional, and like the moderators did not dare interrupt, and not a single person on the stage. And also after her feud fight comment. Like everybody, like I said earlier, everybody was bickering. Everybody was talking over each other, and then Kamala Harris just steps in with that ball-ass line. Like Americans don't want to see a food fight; they want to know how we're gonna put food on the table. And everybody shut.
That's crazy.
And they stayed shutting up. They let her finish her point to completion. They did not cut her off. And then like, oh, it was wild. Like, like when Kamala Harris talks, people listen. Like, even if like she's selling you something that you wouldn't necessarily believe in, like it's worth noting that she has like a very good skill set. I'm talking to my pet rat now.
She's like a move. It was like her movie scene moment, right? Where it's like you mentioned when the moderators did not cut her off, like they were like intently listening, like we were.
Yeah.
And that's what she has is captivating. I think that the reason why I look at her compared to whoever is that one thing that we really, really need, because I've heard people talk about it. We need, you know, so many people talk about how we need middle white America to vote, right? Because they believe that's what voted for Trump. And my opinion is what I really want to see is I want the youth of America to vote. I want the 18-year-olds and 18 to 30-year-olds to step up like we've hoped they would. And I think this is a generation that really, really seems like they're hell-bent on doing so. So my question is, which candidate will get that age group to turn out and vote? And I think that Kamala really has a huge chance of turning a lot of heads in the youth of this country. Now, the obviously for you, you're in that age group. You are very you've always been a fan of Elizabeth. Do you find that Elizabeth is popular with like people at school?
Do you think I'm still in college?
Well, you were still in college last year, were you not?
Yeah, I graduated a little over a year ago. Okay, but I'm not at school now. I'm not going.
All right, so the people you know from school,
there are a lot of Warren supporters. There's also a lot of Bernie supporters.
Right.
I would say not a lot of Biden supporters, interestingly enough.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. Not a lot. Oh, also, sorry, this is unrelated, but that one guy, was it Eric? It was this is the thing I remember at Eric Swalwell, is that he made a comment about Joe Biden. And he made a comment about he made a comment about how when he was a kid, he went to see like a candidate speak, or he went to some political conference, and there was a guy there who gave a really great speech about how like his generation needs to pass on the torch to the next generation of Americans, and how like they're going to lead the future. And then Eric Swalwell goes, and that man was Joe Biden. Using his words against him, how many years later, 20, 30 years later? Everybody in the chat I was watching was like, oh, damn, fuck you, Joe Biden.
At
first I was like, oh, fuck, damn. But then I, thought about it for more than 2 seconds, and then I'm like, Eric Swalwell. Sir, you can't campaign on being a millennial. Like, you can't win the presidency because you are a millennial. That's the thing. He kept saying this. Like, we need the next generation. We need the next generation of people. And it's like, so vote for Pete. Like, he's in your age group too. Like,
right. But I mean, isn't that crazy though? Because tell me if I'm crazy here. But look at Eric Swalwell, who, by the way, looked like a plastic doll. Like, he has the hair that's like totally like looks like a mold. And so take Eric Swalwell, take Tim Ryan, take Pete Buttigieg, who are all I think in the millennial range, right? So they're close to my age, actually. They're all a bit older than me, obviously, because I'm not old enough to run for president. But tell me if I'm wrong, though. Did Kamala and Cory take out the fact that, yes, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are both exceptions to the rule when it comes to age, that I think they do transcend generations? But am I not right that Cory and Kamala, who are both in their 50s, that they related more to the millennial base than those young guys did? Because I would not have guessed that Eric Swalwell, Tim Ryan, and Pete Buttigieg were – they didn't seem like they were of my generation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I definitely felt like Cory Booker. Like, I was like, so, like, they're like Cory Booker, first of all, like, he had like the sort of, this is not related to like policy or like relatability, but he has like really big eyes.
He does. Yes, he does.
The entire time. A little bit alarmed. He kind of always looks that way, though. He's very expressive.
He is. Yeah. He gets when he's speaking, it's very, very expressive.
Yeah. I don't even remember like what most of those people look like. I mean, Pete Buttigieg's some of his biggest base is like housewives in their 60s.
Values.
Yeah. And like the only person that's like safe. And
I'm like Valium, 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 Valium. So basically that was kind of my takeaway of everything. So we saw Joe Biden drop what, 10 points? Is that right?
Yeah. Like 10, like CNN had like something where like he dropped like 10%. I'm pulling it up right now. You can keep talking.
Kamala went from like single digits, I think, to now second place. And I mean, and by the way, I spoke of Obama earlier. That is very reminiscent of how Obama started to rise. It was but a blip on the radar. And then suddenly he started to get in the debates. You started to hear more of him. And then, boy, it comes down to Hillary and Barack Obama. You know, crazy to think that we were having Hillary versus whoever, even way back when. And that's, I remember sitting at that caucus, And having everybody thought that morning, I think, at least the people who were establishment, because I was still caucusing in the city of Linden, Washington, which is a more conservative town, so not nearly the size of the caucus that I see in Bellingham, and very, very small. And the group that I was around were a lot of farmers and probably some union workers as well. And the establishment Democrats who were, you know, used to Linden being this pretty quiet, simple, we're going to vote for the establishment, you know, the name that we know, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry. Yeah, that was, you know, John Kerry, John Edwards. And I remember they went, but they were shocked because people like me showed up at my age. That was 2008. So I was only 22 then, I want to say. So I was 22 years old. You had young people showing up. You had farmers showing up, like I mentioned, around that area. And the one woman who was in our caucus, she was absolutely stunned because as we went around the circle, it was Obama, 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 Obama. And I remember it's vivid in my head. She kind of threw her hands up in the air and she said, "Oh, I guess I'm the only Hillary today." And she was so frustrated because she thought it was just going to be this, you know, they didn't see it coming. And that's kind of how I feel. That's kind of the ground that Kamala is making up right now against Biden.
Yeah.
It's just
okay. I do have some numbers from CNN, which I think. Okay, sorry. I have a bit of
CNN CNN's a pretty big news source.
They are. Okay. So Biden was at 32% according to CNN before the debates. He dropped 10 points to 22%.
Oh, I love hearing that.
I know.
God, that sounds
good. The debates were also not super good for Sanders, who went from a second place right below Biden, or not like right below, but second place below Biden, to tied in third place with Warren.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. The person who rose to second place is, you can guess it,
Kamala Harris.
Absolutely. And then if you care, the next people in line are Buttigieg with 4%, Booker with 3%, O'Rourke with 3%, and Klobuchar with 2%. So people keep talking about how Buttigieg is like sweeping the nation and he's like bringing everybody up, but he has 4% according to CNN.
Yeah, it's really interesting because a friend of mine who is part of the LGBTQ community, he was mentioning he would love to see a Kamala Pete Buttigieg ticket. And who am I to sit here and, you know, obviously judge because, you know, I've, for at least the world's perception of me, I've been pretty well represented, you know, right? So,
yeah.
You know, and which actually brings up another thing I thought about talking about if we have time, but it's funny because like I wanted so badly to be like, yeah, and I was kind of like, I said, well, hey, I'm not against that, but I, as much as I want to like Pete, I just cannot get on board with that. You know, I mean, it's not obviously if that was the choice, I would gladly vote,
I would vote for ticket. Buttigieg over Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah. 100%. You know, especially a ticket where he's, but I have to admit, I'd rather see a Harris Warren ticket or a Harris in either way, a Harris Booker ticket, you know, something like that. And Pete just doesn't, I thought that his answer when he was talking about being the mayor of South Bend and basically when he said, you know, essentially I'm saying this in my words, not his, but that they could not make things better. With minority incarceration and, of course, how cops treat minorities in South Bend. And so if you're admitting that you cannot handle South Bend, Indiana, why are you making the step to the United States of America?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated him for acknowledging
the honesty, right?
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty, but also, it's also partially it's like if your city is struggling so much with these big issues, why are you not there
right.
in your city, like working your ass off to make your city better? You know, like why are you like setting your goals on like presidency, like instead of like doing your fucking job as mayor? Like,
it's sort of part of the Trump effect, right? Because we hate to say that because they're nothing like Trump, but Trump did in many different ways basically say to people, I don't need experience. I don't even need to be a politician to run for president. And now they both have career, Pete Buttigieg and Beto O'Rourke both have careers ahead of them in politics. I don't doubt that for 1 minute. But you've got to learn to crawl before you walk. And these guys decided that they were going to take some of the momentum that they had in their, you know, big fish, small pond, and they were going to translate that into a whole sea of sharks. And that is, to me, where they went wrong.
Instead of going through all the trouble of explaining how crossword tournaments work, I could have just said big fish, small pond.
Like, in my head, I was like, this was what we were looking for earlier.
Yeah.
Not the AAA Major League Baseball and the crossword. But you know what? It gave us I have a new outlook on crossword tournaments now, so I appreciate
it.
Yeah. So moving on a little bit before we go here. So Biden did make a stop in my home state, city of Seattle. And he, and this is where we're ending out Pride Month. And by the way, what I was going to say earlier when I was talking about my friend, that's what's kind of interesting too, right? Because I always wonder, like, because obviously even though I don't think I fit the bill of your stereotypical straight guy, I am a straight guy, right? So but yet I love Pride Month. And because I absolutely adore my LGBTQ plus friends. And I always wonder, though, is it okay for me to love it like I do? Because it really does, like, it's like I've never had to deal with that, right? Even though it is for allies as well. And which is just a weird thing, I think, that I always try to introspectively, like, because I always talk about how much I love the month, and I wonder if, like, I'm overstepping my boundaries, right? So Biden, though, at the end of Pride Month, he was in Seattle, and he was trying to speak in what I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt was supposed to be in a progressive way. And I read the quote off to you. It's kind of long, so I won't go over it again. The audience can always look it up. Basically, it was along the lines of that if a waiter back 12 years ago, he actually made the comment 12 years ago, it's not 20 years ago, and I realize that we still have a long way to go. So 12 years ago, like you mentioned, depending on the circle that you're in, could have been that way. But 12 years ago, if you had been at a table and the waiter, and this is where he went wrong first, is that he said, and the waiter had a noticeable lisp. So immediately he stereotyped a gay man as having a noticeable speech impediment, which is something that was, you know, in movies and TV, you know, years ago. And that obviously, you know, I think we've moved on from stereotyping.
Yeah, and there's definitely gay men who speak that way. But not everybody does. And not everybody.
And there are straight men who speak that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, so yeah, stereotyping is just, it made me cringe is, I guess, the best way to put it. And, so he then went on to say, you know, and if somebody made a joke about the waiter, even if people didn't like it, they would have laughed at it. Whereas now, if that same joke is made, the table will, you know, tell that horse's tail, as he called it, which I guess must be a Midwest insult to someone, a horse's tail. Or he was going to say horse's ass and decided that maybe it wasn't the place. I don't know. You would tell that horse's tail and you'd run him out of the, basically, you know, run him out of the dinner party. And again, I'm paraphrasing that last part, but that's essentially, you get the gist. And it was a bad look just for a city as progressive as Seattle as well. So it just continues to show that people have talked about, once he starts campaigning, once he is on the campaign trail, he's not a very good campaigner. It's why he loses so often. Yeah. And I mean, so
you could bet it, like, is there a video of this? Like,
yes.
I'd have to see it.
Yeah, okay.
I interpret that as like, our culture is too PC nowadays. But you're saying that, like,
no, I think he did mean it as, look, at this is where we've gotten to in 12 years. That now people would basically run that person off the table, because we don't accept that anymore. I definitely think that's where he was going. It was not a PC moment whatsoever, because he thought he was taught. Because there was a man who actually yelled in the crowd that was like, after he mentioned the 12 years ago that would have been accepted, and the guy being that's in Seattle, he was like, no, we wouldn't have been okay with that. you know, and for the most part, me living in this state for my whole life, that man's very close to right. Then again, there are little areas outside of Seattle and outside of Bellingham where it's a lot different. The town I grew up near, Linden, you could still probably make those jokes. And yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of places that are, like, violently home, like, still...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there was a person who came into my stream today who said that they were a high schooler, and their name, their Twitch username was The Confederate Cowboy, so already, like, and the only reason I, like, was, like, down to, like, chill was because, like, with the username like that is... I was playing a game, and like sometimes when I play indie games, I get like really caught up in the art and I forget to talk about things, and I end up not giving the chat anything to react to, so I end up being kind of boring. So I decided to go, and I went into my stream settings and I added the politics tag to my stream in addition to like my game tags, my LGBT tag, my AMA tag. I added a politics tag so people who want to talk about politics will find it. And I said to the people who were watching me then, like, okay, give it, like, 10 minutes. So there's going to be someone coming in here looking to argue. And sure enough, there the Confederate cowboy was. And he insisted he was not looking to argue. He just wants to hear other people's opinions. I was like, okay, sure, dude. but he said that he when I asked what his political opinions were, he said that he was pro-gun control, that Republicans have better ideas about the economy, and that he has mixed feelings about the LGBT community. And we were like, how can you have mixed feelings like about the, like, are you like fucking hate trans people, but bisexuals, that's my thing. Like, I don't know. Like what, like how do you have mixed feelings about it? And he said that like, he wasn't really sure how he felt, but that he came from a background that was really religious and that it was immoral. It was just, yeah. So like I was proud of him for learning. And he told me like, he was an interesting like kid. Like he told me that like he appreciated me giving him the chance to talk about these things. Right. And we had a great discussion. He was like, I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk. Most people just ban me when they see my username. And I was like, I don't blame them.
Yeah, you're right. That, you know, like, you would
like some like I'll have fucking Nazis come into my stream and try and start shit. And it's like, I don't have fucking time for that. Like I have games to play, I have puzzles to solve.
Yeah, I mean, difference of opinion is one thing, right? But when you start to cross that line into, you know, the Nazi thing, I just, and the Confederate thing is a tough one for me because I grew
up a tough one, yeah.
Because I grew up in a town where you saw people, you know, very different, or near a town, I should say, very different from the town I live in now, but where people did have Confederate flags flying off the back of their cars and had them hanging out. And this is in Washington. You know, we weren't even part of the fucking country at the point the Civil War was being fought. And so, you know, that at that point, it's not about pride.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, but anyways, but good on you though for, you know, because if we don't know how old he is. Maybe he's somebody who is somewhat.
And I also told him because he said he was like, I'm young. I'm just still learning things. I just want to get other people's opinions. And I told him like, you should change your username because that username is like a signal to people that like you are not willing to change your opinion.
Right.
Like you've claimed an identity. I was like, call yourself the cool cowboy or even the conservative cowboy. You won't get banned.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Fine. Very good advice, Aiden.
Yes. I doubt he listened to it.
Well, you know, but you try. That's the biggest part. Yeah. But no, I mean, that's, you know, kind of, it's the reason why it's interesting because people say that, because you actually hear that very often, that I have mixed feelings about or whatever about the LGBTQ+ community. And I feel like that's almost like, you know, listening to my grandparents who will say, you know, as long as they don't talk about it, like, you know, as if like they should,
as if like your grandparents aren't like married and like,
right. Yeah. I'm like, then you guys stop talking about your marriage and I don't want
to stop talking about your marriage. And by the way, put away all your, like the cute couple photos you have. And also like that nice little anniversary quilt that says like, oh, 65 years together. Like, can you just put that away? That kind of makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or stop, you know, I don't want to see straight people kissing in public anymore. Yeah. I don't want to see, you know,
I don't want it in my movies. I don't want you to mention the fact that you're into a girl. Like, that's just not necessary. It's like,
yeah, exactly. And you know, and so I kind of going back to what I was talking about earlier about the, you know, because Pride Month is something that should be, obviously that spirit should be forever. It's not a month, right?
Yeah.
But there's something important about the month because you do start to see people. I thought about a few of my friends who I know, and I'm not saying every reason that they had tough parts of their life was because they hadn't come out yet. Or anything like that. But I think it was a big part of some of their, you know, when, because I know they struggled with things. And to see how happy their lives are now and seeing during Pride Month them posting pictures, whether it be on Instagram with now with their wife or their husband or girlfriend or boyfriend or fiance, and seeing that they have kids and seeing these people who have happy lives, that's what Pride Month is about. And that's what I saw people, I've known people in my life who have taken their own lives because of not feeling they've been accepted into this world or that they just felt out of place. And the fact that we are hopefully through all this shit that we go through, even with the president the way he is and whatnot, hopefully we're making a better place where people do feel like they are able to celebrate not just in June, but the whole year, but are able to really show just how amazing they are and how, you know, that we've done something right in making sure that what was once shunned is celebrated, at least amongst those of us who are, you know, who are accepting. And and yeah, so I it's sad to see the gaffe a bit from Biden, because otherwise I thought that when you saw the large gatherings that you had this year, whether it be the parades, whether it be whatever, it just keeps getting, you know, it just keeps gathering momentum, I feel like. And I feel like there's so many more people who are, you know, and obviously there's still such a long way to go, but there are so many people who also are finding their own way and that we have made progress, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. In other news, before we go, this was an interesting story. And then, gosh, we are it's quarter after two. Good gosh.
You need to go to bed.
I know. At some point here, I should. I also have my window closed. It's like so humid out right now here. And so my apartment is feeling like a rainforest right now. But this is an interesting one. This is away from the debates, but Oregon Governor Kate Brown deployed the state police Thursday. This would have been Thursday, June 20th, to try to round up Republican lawmakers who fled the Capitol to block a vote on a landmark economy-wide climate plan that would be the second of its kind in the nation. Now the response from, I want to make sure I get the name right here. Brian Boquist, a Republican from Dallas. The response from him was, send bachelors and come heavily armed. Now, that right there insinuates that send bachelors, because they were ready to basically kill the police force that Governor Brown had deployed. The reason why that's interesting is, one, because obviously they so badly want to get away from a vote on climate change that they were willing to just leave it hanging there. But what makes that even more interesting to me is that we also saw with riots in Portland, the same state, that there was a lot of crying on the side of the fascists and alt-right, that a lot of milkshakes were being thrown. And they said that was just disgusting that we would treat people that way. Even though a lot of these people are very much known as either, you know, borderline neo-Nazis or like we said, fascists, or like I said. What's interesting is his were words, not actions, but he made a comment that insinuated that he would basically send your bachelors because they would be willing to fight violently the police, the state troopers. And I just, if you switch that around to a Democrat saying that, I could only imagine, or somebody on the left, anybody saying that, any sort of violent toward law enforcement, could you imagine what that would have caused? To me, it would have been, go ahead.
I think that the Democratic Party cares what Republicans, this is not a new observation, but the Democratic Party cares so much what Republicans think of them, and Republicans do not give a
That's a good. No, you're right.
Think about them. Like Democrats are all like, well, we need to appeal to middle America, or we need to figure out how to compromise before, like, just you need to be the person that they want to compromise with. You know, like, you need to figure out a way to get yourself in a position of power and advocate for yourself and have a hard line up in a position that they are compromising their beliefs to meet you. You're not just giving them and giving them and giving them whatever the fuck they want.
No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my little mini rant. It was like two sentences. It's all good, though.
Sometimes. No, I totally agree with you, though. That's what I've said as well, which is the fact that there is always this – the Republicans don't worry about how they come across to anyone except their base. Democrats are worried about how everybody thinks. So best thing we saw on the internet this week, going back to, by the way, Pride Month in June, people who are themselves and are able to express those, you know, express themselves, which is a great, great thing. Lil Nas, who
that was,
is...
That was going to be my thing.
Oh, gosh.
That was going to be my thing.
Can it be ours?
It could be our thing.
Okay. Yeah. So I want, so I'm going to say, so obviously Lil Nas came out as his song Closure. He actually said, I thought I made it fucking obvious. And he, to some people probably did. It was not obvious to me. Maybe to you it might have, but yeah, but he, so I was going to say, and maybe you have some things to bring up, but he also had some great responses. To coming out and some of the responses that were to him, and but yeah, so he actually, in fact, one of the ones today that made me laugh, and I won't use the term he used, but next person to say something offensive to me gets kissed. But yeah, also this is one of my favorites. So his response was, "Just got news that I'm gay. And I will no longer be streaming my music. I'm sorry, that shit is just not okay."
And it had, like, when I checked that tweet, it had, like, 122,000, like, likes or something. How much is it
now? It's 490,000 likes.
Yeah, he's, like, fucking untouchable.
I know, it's great. And he just has some great... this one wasn't related to him coming out, but in Paris, and everybody here has two legs, just like in America.
He's really good at Instagram. He's really good at
Twitter. Yeah, he's amazing.
He's fan, like, if you guys aren't following Lil Nas X, even if you don't listen to his music, that's LilNasX. You guys should totally go follow him.
Yeah. Hilarious. And if you don't know, which by the way, who doesn't, but he was the original writer and singer of Old Town Road, and then of course Billy Ray Cyrus joined forces with him to get it back on country radio. And, but yeah, so Lil Nas, we love Lil Nas, and I'm, yeah, just even, I, like I said, he's like, between him and the women's soccer team, like, they're my leaders right now. They're making America, they're making my America beautiful. So, yeah. So anyways, well, Aiden, it was fun talking about the debates.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
We don't have another one until September.
Don't we have one next month?
Do we?
Debate schedule. 1 second.
All right, yeah. Hold up, people. This ain't over yet.
I want another debate now. I'm
excited. I think that...
Now I have Lil Nas X in my head.
Oh, I know. Okay. Let's see.
Yeah, it's July 30th and 31st on CNN.
I stand corrected. Thank you, Aiden.
Yes.
So... July, you said what day?
July 30th and 31st. They're going to have to split it up into two again.
Although that's, you know what, too? That's during Shark Week on Discovery. And you know why Shark Week's extra special this year?
Why?
Because it's during the week of my birthday. And I love Shark Week. I love Shark Week and my birthday. Well, I mean, I don't actually love my birthday. I hate my birthday. But I love the fact that when it happens around my birthday, I have something really to celebrate, which is Shark Week.
So cute. And now you get to see Joe Biden ripped to pieces.
Right? Yes.
And it's honestly another kind of Shark Week, really.
That was a really good. That was good.
Yeah.
On top of your game at 2:22 in the morning.
Wait, so what's the day of your birthday? Like, which?
August 2nd.
August 2nd. Okay. So it's not actually. Okay. I'll still consider it an early birthday gift.
To the debates? Yeah. 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 I would say so. It's only a few days before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I've got my Shark Week 30th anniversary bobblehead.
Yeah.
That'll be ready to go. Yeah. Anyways, thank you everybody for joining us once again. This has been the debate recap with me and Aiden Wood. And it's so late. And if I don't end this now, we're just going to keep rambling and it's going to get really bad. So, Aiden, thank you so much. Any parting words before we go this week?
Stay dope.
Stay dope, everybody.